This is The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and with Helen Skells. Don't forget that earlier in the programme, Dave and Ben were experimenting with axles of various sizes to try and show you how a wheel works. Now, we heard from Keith Humphreys. He says the larger axle will start first and accelerate faster because of the higher PMI. Troy McLuhan says, I'm guessing the one with the small axle. A smaller axle has a lower moment of inertia, which makes it easy to impart angular acceleration. And then Troy points out, oh, if the weight's the same, then the key difference is the moment of inertia, which for a cylinder rotating about its axis is mass times radius squared. So that means the bigger axle means bigger moment of inertia, and that means slower angular acceleration. What he's saying is the one with the big axles should go slower. Helen.
Well, I think it's better be time for us to find out what they actually did get up to. And I should warn you, there's a really, really terrible pun coming up.
Welcome back to this week's really exciting kitchen science, where we're finding out what is it about the wheel that makes it so good for us moving. Now, Dave, what do we have set up? How are we testing it?
Okay, I've got three different cars. One of them doesn't have any wheels at all as a control. One of them's got wheels which you'd think of as fairly normal, with a small axle and a big wheel. And the third one has wheels where the axle is almost as big as the wheel is itself.
And we're going to put these one at a time with exactly the same weight on the top on a bit of wood and tilt the bit of wood and see which one will start rolling at the shallowest angle. Now, what will that actually tell us?
Well, as you tip the piece of wood, slowly more and more of the gravity is pulling that car forward and less is pulling it down. So eventually the gravity is going to pull it forward enough for it to overcome friction. So the higher the friction, the steeper the slope it'll be able to stay still on.
So whichever setup actually has the least friction in the system should start rolling first.
That is theory, yes.
OK, well, let's test this out first with what you've called a car, but I think it's more like a cardboard sled, really. And we're going to put the same mass on it that we will put on our cars. In fact, the mass we're using is just an empty jam jar. We've placed that on our bit of wood, and Dave has a protractor for measuring the angle at which it starts to fall. So, Dave, if you start lifting, we'll see what angle that starts to slide. What angle did we get to before that actually started to move?
Got to about 25 degrees.
So the slope needed to be at 25 degrees for the force of gravity pulling down to overcome the friction that was pressing on the bottom of your cardboard sled.
That's right, and that's really quite a steep slope. I wouldn't like to drive down a slope at 25 degrees.
But perhaps really good on a sled in the snow. So now let's try your car with enormous axles. So because this one has wheels, instead of just being a sled, I expect it'll go at a much shallower angle. So, Dave, let's give this one a go as well. OK, the wheels definitely worked. They were rolling properly. It wasn't just sliding down. But that still looked quite steep to me.
Yeah, it was about 20 degrees, so still a pretty steep slope.
But now let's try it with your other car. This is the one with small sort of pencil diameter axles. That looked very shallow. What angle was that, Dave?
It's about 8 degrees when it started to move.
I mean, you'd hardly got the top end off the ground.
Yeah, far, far better. So this has got much, much, much less friction than either of the other two.
So it's the same weight on the same bit of wood. They're all made of cardboard, and both of the second two have wheels. So where's the friction going?
Well, because we've been using the same materials, the friction between the wheel and the smaller axle should be exactly the same as the friction between the big wheel and the big axle.
But it started rolling down at a much smaller slope, which means that it took less downward force to overcome that friction. So surely there's less friction there.
This is all to do with leverage. Have you ever opened a door?
Yes, I've opened lots and lots of doors. I don't have flunkies to do that for me, Dave.
Well, if we come over to this door over here, I want you to try and open this door in a normal place where you'd push it open.
So, OK, I'm just going to push it open by the door handle. It slides open easily and hits the other wall. No trouble there.
That's good. Now, instead, I want you to try and open it from very, very close to the hinge.
OK, I'm pushing. It is opening, but that takes a lot of effort to do that. And there we go. I've got the door open, but I had to push a lot harder very close to the hinge.
Yeah, that's right. To open the door, you need to apply a certain force at the hinges. You can either apply that by applying a very, very large force close to the hinge and not moving very far, or by applying a much smaller force and moving it much further where the handle is.
So the whole door acts like a lever. Now, what's that got to do with our wheels?
Well, if we consider the wheel with a huge axle first, because both the surface of the axle and the edge of the wheel are about the same distance away from the centre of the rotation, then there's virtually no leverage. In order to make the truck move, you're going to have to push about as hard as a frictional force, which is quite a lot, so it doesn't work very well as a wheel.
So the fact that the axle and the actual wheel are quite similar sizes means that you don't get any leverage. I assume this means, therefore, that when you have a smaller axle, the wheel itself acts like a lever.
That's right, it acts like quite a big lever. The smaller the axle, the bigger the lever it acts like. So you need to apply less force to the wheel in order to overcome that frictional force. So the truck is slowed down less by that friction. Now, you'd think that the obvious solution then is to use axles as small as you physically can, which is right from the purposes of friction. However, it's not quite so good from the purposes of strength.
Of course, because you don't want your axles to be too thin, because the wheels, as well as making you move, have to support the weight.
That's right, and in the last couple of hundred years, engineers have come up with a way of using large axles and getting very low friction. It's actually using that very, very ancient technology, the roller, again. What essentially you do is have a ring of rollers all running round and round and round the wheel, and then they just roll and keep rolling and keep going, because they're going in a circle, they never fall out, and you can keep on rolling with almost no friction.
So we've almost come full circle on the history and the science of the wheel. We'll put some pictures and diagrams up of Dave's cardboard cars on the website at thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience so you can see and even have a go at this yourself at home. We'll be back with another great experiment next week.
Thank you, guys. So, with a small axle on a large wheel, the wheel itself acts like a lever, and so it takes less force to overcome the friction. I never thought that wheels could work like a lever. It's amazing, isn't it? You can actually see some pictures of Dave's cardboard cars on our website. That's at nakedscientist.com/kitchenscience. And the guys have also put some videos there showing how they move. So go and take a look. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much to our guests, Andrew Oddams, Howard Stone, Wendy Berkeley and Stefan Zielinski. He was the man who made the amazing flue music. Also, thank you to our wonderful production team, Dave Ansell, Mira Senthilingam and Ben Vowsler. Next week, do join us to find out about the science of clean water and about the alien species that are invading our waterways. If you have any questions or you just want to say hi, the email address, chris@thenakedscientist.com.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.